And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Time now for our weekly theater review with our theater critic, J. Wynn Russick. Hey, Judy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
So we're going to talk about two plays today at two different theaters. One's called Red Velvet. That's at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company here in Baltimore. And the other is called All She Must Possess. That's at Rep Stage over in Columbia. Interesting. Both of these are biographical plays, and they're both about people involved in the arts themselves. So who are the folks, and do they deserve their own play?
Well, they are both important figures, but neither is very well known. So yes, I think they both do deserve their own play. Red Velvet is about Ira Aldridge, 19th century African-American Shakespearean actor who spent almost his entire career in Europe. This is a recent British drama by a playwright named Lolita Chakrabarti. It focuses on Aldridge playing Othello at Covent Garden in 1833, which turned out to be highly controversial. In fact, he never returned to the London stage, so there's a lot of drama there, as you know.
It's also just amazing. This is 1833.
Oh, yes. Slavery
chattel,
is still...
Chattel slavery is the law of the land
right,
in the United States.
Right.
This is 30 years before the Civil War, and he's in London playing Othello.
Right, and Britain is trying to decide whether to abolish slavery in the colonies.
Yeah, so just amazing.
A very pivotal time. All She Must Possess is about Etta Cohn. She's the more shy and self-effacing of the two sisters who created the world-renowned late 19th, early 20th century modern art collection, the centerpiece of the Baltimore Museum of Art. This is a world premiere. It's by a local playwright, Susan McCulley. It's part of the Women's Voices Theater Festival.
Oh, yeah.
These two subjects are very different personalities, certainly is the way they're depicted in these plays. Ira Aldridge, bold, larger than life, a leading man at a time when, as you point out, this country, and as it turned out, London, wouldn't accept a black Shakespearean lead actor. Etta Cohn is depicted as quiet and shy behind the scenes, although she outlived her sister by 20 years and actually amassed most of the collection.
Oh, interesting. So let's start with Red Velvet, which Linnell and I saw and just really enjoyed. This is a play about an actor. So is it sort of inherently theatrical to your view?
Well, I certainly thought so. It's primarily a backstage drama. It has a lot of egos, so that's always dramatic. The setting for the play is that the legendary British actor Edmund Kean has collapsed while playing the title role in Othello. The theater manager, Pierre Laporte, replaces him with a friend who happens to be the African-American actor Ira Aldridge. Some of the actors in the company, including Kean's son Charles, who's playing Iago, are shocked by this. The notion of a black Othello with a white Desdemona also proves shocking. I mean, at the time, white actors played Othello in blackface. So it's hard to imagine now, but it was a shocking thing, even though a black Othello with a white Desdemona is really what Shakespeare's play is about.
And interracial casting now even is, you know, considered pretty revolutionary
by a lot of people.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about Red Velvet is that in the play, at least, Ira Aldridge introduces a new and different style of acting. And Shirley Bassefield Dunlap's direction really brings that out. He wants a more natural style as opposed to this very mannered acting style, the teapot style of acting, it's called in the play. Christian R. Gibbs plays Othello, and I found it a very nuanced performance. There really isn't a weak link in this cast. I should say critics lambasted Aldridge when he played Othello. The audiences kind of liked it, but the critics certainly didn't. So let's listen to Yuri Lamakhin as the theater manager trying to tell his friend Ira, played by Christian Gibbs, some of what the critics objected to.
I said, yesterday, here, I told you to play it gently. They need time to adjust, to get used to the whole concept.
Oh, sweet Lord.
Gently, but you played harder and fiercer than I have ever seen you.
He loses his mind. He brutally murders his wife. It's the most violent scene Shakespeare ever wrote in an auditorium that requires scale. It's not gentle.
You're not listening.
It's what his jealousy does.
It was too strong, too intimate.
It's called acting.
It's called acting, and indeed there's some great acting in this play. That's Yuri Lumikin and Christian Gibbs in Chesapeake Shakespeare's production of Red Velvet. So, Judy, let's turn now to the other show you want to talk about, All She Must Possess. You told us about its subject, Etta Cohn. This is at Rep Stage over in Columbia. So Etta's evidently the shy and self-effacing one. That's interesting. Is it hard to base a play on a sort of introverted, shy person? I would imagine it would be.
Well, it's certainly the less obvious choice. It could be, but that's not the case here, not the case with the depiction of Etta, either in the writing or in the performance. Grace Bauer plays her, and she's just charming, and she also shows us Etta coming into her own. The problem is really with the other characters, Gertrude Stein, Alice B. Toklas, particularly Etta's sister Clarabelle. For the most part, these are just two-dimensional characters. I do want to single out actress Valerie Leonard, who plays Clarabelle and Gertrude Stein, two overbearing influences on Etta. In one scene, she even plays them both at once, one standing and the other sitting. The different personalities of the Cohn sisters do come through. Clarabelle is haughty. She tends to stand staring with her arms crossed in front of her. Grace Bauer's Etta tends to stand with her hands clasped and modestly looking down. I also must point out another character in this play, not a historical character. This is a character simply called Writer. She is writing a play about Etta Cohn. At one point, the writer acknowledges that she tried to make Clarabelle three-dimensional, but that Clarabelle herself prevented it, which I don't think really excuses that. I also want to say this is a really strong physical production. The set is by Daniel Ettinger. The back wall is painted gray, and it's all empty picture frames. And Sarah Tunderman has designed projections that we see in these frames. Clarabelle's handwritten notes show up in the frames, the sea when Etta and Gertrude Stein are on an ocean liner, and Matisse's Blue Nude, probably the most famous painting in the collection. The best effect, the image of the blue nude lifts, and an actress playing the blue nude comes alive in the frame. I brought you a clip of Clarabelle arguing about bidding on the blue nude with Etta. Etta turns out to have a connection with this painting. You're going to hear how imperious Clarabelle sounds. But this is also one of the scenes where Etta has a little more backbone. Grace Bauer as Etta speaks first.
You asked. I'm saying it may be a mistake.
Your attitude seems incomprehensible. You, of all people, the consummate defender of Matisse.
I'm only giving you my impression of the specific work.
Obviously. But I'd prefer some reasoned thought.
I'm sure you will arrive at a wise maximum bid.
I'm sure I will. But we always confer.
Around 100,000 francs, I should think.
I agree.
So you're bidding, then?
I am not too sensitive to own a piece of detested art.
Detested art, indeed. Grace Bauer and Valerie Leonard, All She Must Possess. That's over at Rep Stage. So, Judy, biographical plays can often take many forms. What's the form or the structure of these two plays?
Well, they both, interestingly enough, use theatrical devices. Red Velvet is told in flashback. It begins in 1867 in Poland, where a young female reporter is interviewing Aldrich. He's playing King Lear near the end of his career. And the interview bookends the action. As I said, All She Must Possess includes the character of a writer writing a play. This is meta theater about theater, a play about creating a play. Etta calls it postmodern meta-Etta.
Meta-Etta.
Meta-Etta. But playwright Susan McCulley is trying something much more complicated, almost cubist, sort of fragmented and fractured. It's interesting, but combined with Gertrude Stein's elliptical language, I think it might leave some theatergoers confused. It's a daring approach, but it's complicated, and at this point, less effective.
All right, so both plays, Red Velvet and All She Must Possess, are historical dramas. Do they explore any modern themes and issues and stuff?
They do. They definitely do. Homosexuality and bisexuality are big issues in All She Must Possess. And there are many timely issues in Red Velvet. Outsiders taking away jobs comes up. Women in the workplace, the reporter is a female reporter. Art as a political act is probably the primary issue, still as timely as ever. But on the most basic level, both of these plays offer a chance to get to know important but relatively obscure historical figures better. And they both succeed at that. although Red Velvet is the more polished of the two.
Interesting. Well, I, as I said, we saw Red Velvet and just loved it. Haven't seen the one at Rep Stage, but sounds like a good one. So All She Must Possess, that's over at Rep Stage in Columbia till a week from Sunday. And Red Velvet is at the Chesapeake Shakespeare Company here in Baltimore, again, till a week from Sunday, February 25th. We've got a link to the details about all that stuff on our website, wypr.org/midday. So, Judy, next week we head to Center Stage. What do they got going on there?
They have a play by Dominic Morisseau called Skeleton Crew.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. We'll be back on Thursday next week with our normal theater review. So thanks so much. Have a good weekend.
You too, Tom.
All right. We want to also thank Patango Bakery and Cafe for providing lunch today. They're located on South Ann Street in historic Fells Point. They specialize in imported Italian charcuterie and house-made breads and pastries. They're open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. with menu and hours on their website, patangogelato.com/bakery. That'll do it for us today. Coming up Monday, Governor Larry Hogan joins me for the first half of our show. We'll talk about his proposed lockbox for education, an idea that the Democrats in the General Assembly have also championed. The governor and the Dems go about implementing the lockbox idea very differently. We'll discuss some of the governor's other legislative initiatives as this political year inches ever closer to the primary elections in June and the general election in November. Hope you can join me and Governor Larry Hogan. That's Monday on Midday. Midday's director and engineer is Luke Spicknall, gold medalist in the curling championships just last week. He's shy about that. He doesn't talk a lot about that, but you know, you didn't see him because NBC broadcasted it in the middle of the day, but Luke won the gold in Pyongyang. Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill produced the program, and they watched the Olympics. Jamila Kremple is WIPR's digital producer. Austin Cogden from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. I hang around and do this. And on behalf of the entire Midday team, we want to thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Reveal. That's on the way right after a break for news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great weekend.